Hello, this is Anvithi. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, February 28th, and coming up in today's episode, MK Stalin's scathing attack on center and plea to other states over alleged Hindi imposition. Pune police offers reward for information leading to the arrest of rape accused in the Pune bus station rape case. Center approves amendments in the controversial Waqf Amendment Bill, and Bangladesh Army Chief on anarchy of own making in the country. The proliferation of Hindi has destroyed 25 North Indian languages in the last 100 years, alleged Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin amid the ongoing language row built on the back of opposing National Education Policy 2020. Reaching out to other states, the DMK leader wrote on social media, and I'm quoting, "My dear sisters and brothers from other states, ever wondered how many Indian languages Hindi has swallowed? Bhojpuri, Maithili, Avadhi, Braj, Bundeli, Garhwali, Kumaoni, Magahi, Marwadi, Malvi, Chhattisgarhi, Santhali, Angika, Ho, Kharia, Khorta, Kurmali, Kuruk, Mundari, and many more are now grasping for survival. The push for a monolithic Hindi identity is what kills ancient mother tongues. UP and Bihar were never just Hindi heartlands. Their real languages are now relics of the past." Adding that Tamil Nadu resists because we know where this ends. He has also written a letter to the DMK cadre which is much more scathing in nature. He writes, "Tamil is protected by the Dravidian movement." He adds that language can be a tool to destroy a culture. This recent language war began with UGC's new education policy, which has a three-language formula for teaching in schools. He alleges that apart from Hindi, Sanskrit is also being given a kind of backdoor priority over regional tongues. He countered Center's claim that three-language policy is to promote other Indian languages. Quote, "Tamil is not taught anywhere except in the Andamans. There is no Tamil language teachers in Kendri Vidyalay, a system of central government schools set up under the Ministry of Education. The Union Education Minister has said teachers will be appointed only if at least 15 students opt for Tamil in school." Mr. Stalin continued, "It is only the Sanskrit that is prioritized under the three-language policy in most states, but Tamil is protected by the Dravidian movement." Unquote. The Tamil Nadu Chief Minister then declared that Sanskrit teachers had replaced Urdu counterparts in Rajasthan schools. Quote, "Should ask PM Modi how many boards in South Indian languages were put up during the Mahakumbh and Tamil Sangamam in Varanasi." Tamil Nadu, which has always been suspicious of Hindi imposition, has had a two-language policy since 1967, when efforts by the then Congress-led centre to make Hindi the official language triggered violent riots and led to the National Party losing power in the state. This latest round of protests flared up after Education Minister Dharmendra Pradhan said the centre will withhold Rs. 2,400 crore in funds for Tamil Nadu's education sector unless Tamil Nadu accepted UGC's NEP 2020. Mr. Stalin and his son, Deputy Chief Minister Udayanidhi Stalin, hit back hard, accusing the centre of blackmail and warning that Tamil Nadu is ready for another language war. Speaking to NDTV, Mr. Pradhan countered the DMK leader's attack by accusing the Tamil party of creating a false narrative and that the state had in fact agreed to implement the new policy before it made a U-turn for political reasons. The Union Cabinet has approved changes to the controversial Waqf Amendment Bill, sources told NDTV this morning. The Cabinet accepted 14 out of 23 proposed amendments by a joint parliamentary committee, which had reviewed the bill in August. The amendment bill is now likely to be presented when the House reconvenes on March 10th. The JPC presented its report on February 13th amid controversy. Opposition MPs on the panel claimed some of their dissenting views were removed from the report. The government denied the allegations but explained that JPC chairperson Jagdambika Pal from the ruling BJP had the authority to remove any sections that cast aspersions on the committee itself. Following discussions with opposition MPs, it was agreed the dissent notes from the parliament would be included in their original form. The release of the report followed months of disagreement between the opposition and the Bharatiya Janata Party, with accusations that Mr. Pal was rushing the bill through Parliament without proper consultation. Opposition MPs even wrote to Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla, accusing Mr. Pal of attempting to steamroll the Waqf Bill. However, BJP MP Aparajita Sarangi defended Mr. Pal, stating that he had given sufficient time for all amendments to be considered. The GPC held nearly 36 hearings over 6 months, but these often ended in chaos, with one session witnessing violence after Trinamool MP Kalyan Banerjee smashed a bottle during a confrontation with BJP MP Abhijit Gangopadhyay. Ultimately, 66 changes were proposed. Of these, 44 from the opposition were rejected and 23 from BJP and its allies were accepted. After a vote, 14 changes were approved. The opposition still maintains that it was a biased approval, Asaduddin Owaisi among others. As the JPC had only 10 opposition MPs and 14 from the ruling party, which meant all the opposition votes would always be in the minority. Key amendments to the Waqf Bill include a requirement for Waqf councils at both state and national levels to have at least 2 non-Muslim members. This reflects a shift from the original draft, which specified 2 non-Muslim members but did not distinguish between those and nominated ex-officio members. Another significant change is that a state-nominated officer will now determine if a property is qualified as Waqf, replacing the district collector. The bill also specifies that the law will not apply retrospectively to properties already registered. The Congress MP Imran Masood warned that 90% of Waqf properties are not officially registered. The original Waqf Bill proposed changes to the management of Muslim charitable properties, including the appointment of non-Muslim and female members to board. These proposals sparked strong opposition, with critics arguing that the bill violated constitutional rights such as freedom of religion and the rights of minorities to manage their educational institutions. AIMIM leader Asaduddin Owaisi and DMK's Kani Mohi are among the most vocal opponents. There is a Rs. 1 lakh reward for information on Dattatraya Ramdas Kade, location and other details which leads to an arrest. The man accused of raping a 27-year-old woman only Tuesday inside a parked bus at the busy Swargate bus stand just merely 100 meters away from a police station. Releasing his photo, the Pune police has urged the public to come forward with any information which may lead to his arrest. Gade, 36, has a prior criminal record. He is charged with at least 6 counts of theft, robbery and chain snatching in Pune and neighbouring Ahilyanagar district. He has also been out on bail since 2019, according to news agency PTI. Gade has now been on the run for over 48 hours. The police have set up 13 special teams, including 8 from the crime branch, to track him down and have spoken to family members, including his brother and known associates, as part of their intense manhunt. The rape took place between 5:45 a.m. and 6 a.m. on Tuesday this week. The young woman, a domestic, was waiting to board a bus to her hometown in Satara district when she was accosted by Kade, who, she told the cops, addressed her as Devi or sister. She said Gade inquired about her destination and persuaded her that a bus parked in one corner of the busy bus depot would take her there. CCTV footage showed the two walking to that bus. She was hesitant to get inside the dark bus, but Gade assured her the lights were off as the other passengers inside were asleep. Once inside, the man, according to the victim's statement, jumped on her and locked the bus. The Maharashtra State Road Transport Corporation, under fire for poor security, has replaced guards at the depot and announced an inquiry of its own, with a report to be filed within a week. The MSRTC is one of the 3 public transport bodies in the country with a fleet of more than 14,000 buses. Every day, more than 55 lakh passengers travel on its buses. Meanwhile, the horrific incident has triggered a predictable political row, with the opposition Mahavikas Aghadi alliance gunning for the ruling Mahayuti combine. The state's Congress chief, Harshvardhan Sapkal, slammed the BJP-led government in the state for focusing on freebies for women and the cost of their safety. And Supriya Sule from the Sharad Pawar-led NCP faction hit out at the Bharatiya Janata Party for not being able to ensure women's safety. The Maharashtra government has vowed to ensure justice for women as well as the victim, with Deputy Chief Minister Ajit Pawar calling the incident extremely unfortunate, distressing and infuriating. Bangladesh's worsening law and order and the apparent anarchy is a making of its own people, the country's Army Chief General Waqar-ul-Zaman has claimed. He also pleaded that there was an urgent need for the country to unite. Acknowledging that there was something amiss and a serious problem in his country with the rapidly worsening law and order situation, he blamed it on the political turmoil leading to a socio-political crisis. The Army Chief said the situation is so dire now that citizens are constantly preoccupied with vilifying each other. Speaking at an armed forces function, General Zaman said, and I quote, "The anarchy we have witnessed is of our own making," unquote. He also shared his concern over the extremely inefficient police force, which he calls, saying that officers across the board, from senior to junior ranks, were afraid because their peers were either facing judicial cases or were jailed. This, he said, brings even more responsibility on the armed forces, as law and order has faced a collapse. The Army Chief has called for national unity and institutional discipline, warning that the country's sovereignty is at risk due to increasing infighting and violence. Speaking out about the ongoing turmoil, General Zaman said, "If you can't move beyond your differences and continue fighting among yourselves, the independence and integrity of the country will be at risk, I warn you." The Army Chief added that miscreants were taking advantage of the chaos, believing they could escape punishment. He noted the gains of the student-led revolution that overthrew the Sheikh Hasina government last August were also at risk. He further stressed the need for accountability, saying punishment must be ensured, otherwise we will be trapped in the same cycle. Bangladesh has seen a surge in violence leading to the launch of Operation Devil Hunt, where 8,600 people were arrested in under 3 weeks. The interim government, led by Professor Muhammad Yunus, a Nobel laureate, has accused these individuals of attempting to destabilize the country. General Zaman urged the public to support the interim government, assuring them that elections would be held soon. We are on the path to elections, he said, with Mr. Yunus confirming that they are set for late 2025 or early 2026. Meanwhile, student protest leader Nahid Islam has resigned from the interim cabinet ahead of launching a new political party. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV news app. This is your host, Anditi, signing off.